Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited for this podcast on a journey that I've been going through. And the main message is we're always talking about how do we have as much fun as possible in construction, but sometimes it's a grind and figuring out how do we be better in our mental health and how is this going to benefit you is that we've been leading in. I'm going to reference some podcasts teeing this up where today we're interviewing Catherine Contos from The Retreat Boss, where she has been a coach and she's been helping construct lots of people that we've been talking through the Retreat Boss Network that I'm honored to be part of and been checking this thing out. And going back to show 387 with Laura Lopez of Knowing Your Operating Principles and Erica Pack of episode 385 of Rebuilding from Trauma, these were both wonderful people I met through her wonderful organization where I've been really taking a journey outside of the standard construction expert podcasts of the people that have been running in the same circles of going out and building new circles through the art of construction and aligning these different circles. As you know, we just launched all the social media today for Turkey Toe Retreat and building our own retreat center where we take people out and use different construction methods to move our retreat center forward, but using the global megaphone to help that with others. So I'm super excited to bringing the boss of the Retreat Boss, Catherine Contos, into Studio Art of Construction. Without further ado, let's get into hear our story and have as much fun as possible. Catherine, welcome. What's your favorite beverage?
I'm going to be really boring.
No. See, water.
Honestly, water. I just love water. I don't like soft drinks. I don't like alcoholic drinks that much. There's a couple I might, a bit of wine or, but honestly, anytime I go out, I'm so boring. I'm just a water girl.
I think it's so funny whenever somebody starts by saying, I'm going to be boring, then I like, well, we know where this is going to go. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
There are so many places that I loved. I loved Tulum. Greece is one of my favorite places to be on earth because it has everything you can absolutely need. It's safe. There's a lot of architecture. There's history. There's great food, great people, different types of environments from mountain to seaside to skiing to whatever you need. And, there's this thing called kefi. I'm Greek, by the way, in my background. And kefi means, and philotima, which means is the passion of kefi is the passion of enjoyment or joy. It's just like, that's when they break the plates, right? And philotimo is the idea of just being so philanthropically friendly. If I can choose better words, where if you were to see somebody that looked thirsty on the road and you're next to your house, you'd be like, come in. You don't even know them. Come in. I'll give you a glass of water without them asking, without them. You're just opening your soul, your heart, your home to this person to help them. So there's a lot of that goes on there too. So I really, really love the landscape, the people, the food, everything about it, the dancing. It's just full circle for me when I go there.
Awesome. I assume that question would be hard for you since you're circled around people that's what they do for a living, of helping guide people in and out of different experiences and retreats.
Yes.
It's, yes. When your life is that, what a cool passion project. So what do you like to do outside of the Retreat Boss organization that we're going to talk about, outside of travel?
Outside of travel, I actually really love doing podcasts. I love being on radio. I've been invited many times as a guest on radio stations locally. Besides that, I love working out and just being at the gym and feeling my every part of me, right? When we're working out, we're really focused on ourselves. And with that, I meditate and really visualize stuff that I often, we talk about manifestation, but not in a woo-woo sense. I manifest the heck out of my life. Like, I am really the creator of my life. And that happens really, really often to the T. Like whatever I manifest, good or bad, honestly.
Yeah.
Good or bad. I have to be careful sometimes with the bad. Because it's like, damn.
Well, I love how you say, like, you know, without the kind of woo-woo stuff, and that's really been this journey. If you go back and listen to the other podcasts I referenced in the intro, it's like, I'm really trying to be this leader of putting myself out there into places that tough construction guys would say is woo-woo of meditating and mindfulness, of different spiritual and retreats, of ways to go around, which is what you really are leading, right? And so what is your story that led you to being the global retreat venue advisor and the founder and CEO of Retreat Boss and the Retreat Match platforms?
I'll tell you, I'm not your typical retreat person, okay? When you think of retreats, you often think, like I said, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes very like all about, you know, wellness is great, but there's a lot of spirituality. There's a lot of different sides of retreats that people don't realize, yoga and whatever. That's probably like 50%. The other 50% is business people, corporations, athletes, fitness, photographers, videographers. There's all kinds of retreats. So I don't feel fit in that typical yogi style person, right? I'm a business person who loved properties, buying and selling properties. I could have rebuilt one of my properties from scratch. It was like such a lemon, you know, one of the ones that I bought, right? I had to deal with foundations and roofs and like things falling apart. I was with the cities, with construction. So I felt I really love properties, especially investing in properties. And then I bought an inn and I converted it into a retreat because I also have a psychology background. So I wanted to take all of my experience. I had bought and sold 100 different properties and businesses by the age of 40. And I said, well, what can I do to, like, you know, put it all together? And when I bought this inn and I converted it into, it was a retreat center for addictions and mental health. And that's where it launched itself. That's about 14 years ago. And it has evolved throughout the times. I was managing properties. I had reservation platform, right? And then it went into the course creation and creating certifications for retreat planners, leaders, venue owners who want to train their staff, okay? And the venues are my main clientele. I source venues for clients. I certify venues to be retreat ready. Soon we'll be helping them be certified for wellness venues, as a wellness venue. So it means like low tox and stuff like that. I really understand the mentality of a venue owner because I've been one. I understand what hurts. In the categories of, in all the categories of in the retreat industry, the venue owner is the person that has the opportunity to lose the most. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if they don't fill out their retreat center or venue, hotel, resort, you know, there's the staff, right? The staff is depending on them to have a job, right? So that means they have to be successful in what they do. They have to have systems in place. They have to have a whole bunch of stuff that really goes right for them in order for the venue to succeed. And they might have mortgages and loans and whatever. So it's very, very important that the venue succeeds in what they do. And honestly, there's a lot of simple things that they could do that'll increase their, I had 80% capacity at my place. Like that, it was full. Okay, that's 80% is the goal, right? If you could do 100, congratulations. But 80% is really, really something that a lot of hotels and venues really strive for and often struggle.
And that's really this journey of like I think the big connection of this calling of how I've been gravitated to the Retreat Boss, obviously, is that I'm building out my own retreat center. So personally, I started looking at that, but then it was like really this amazing kind of matchmaker of like, well, the Art of Construction platform, these people that have a passion of being a yoga or a golfer or whatever they want to do. And then they're like, I'm going to just go buy this thing and build all these buildings and do this thing. And then they get so overwhelmed and then they can't be their best because if you don't have the right structures, it's hard to get people's mental capacity, right? And so that's this whole kind of quest of like how we've been aligned to come with each other to share the art of construction of really that construction, you think about it's just, it's built and then you hand it over and you're done. And then someone else takes over and operates it. But I think we really have to flip that upside down of like beginning with the end in mind of operationally of, okay, what are you building to be 80% at capacity, right? And start building better buildings that way and aligning people with what you're doing and help each other, right? And I also want, you have, you know, magazines, and I met you through your, I want you to talk through your, how you get people in the door of the Go-Giver philosophy, like I saw on Facebook and joined your retreat match organization, or the meetups that I want you to talk about. And also you run a podcast. So talk through all these amazing mediums that you run through the Retreat Boss organization.
Yeah, I want to go through first what you mentioned about the people who have a dream and they buy a venue and then they realize like, oh my God, what did I get into, yeah. Right? Yeah, so that's a big one. People go for their passion. You know, who wouldn't want a nice hotel, you know, in Bali or in Dominican Republic, right? But you have to know what you're getting into. As long as you know what you're getting into, fantastic, okay? You need systems in plane, whatever. The second mistake that they make is oftentimes is they'll buy without really... without hiring or speaking to a professional that understands what is needed. Once you've bought it, it's too late. I cannot, you know, you'll have to either build a wall or build a room or it's not big. Like sometimes you'd have to even not even the destination of where you have it at, the location is horrible, right? And you didn't realize whatever. Do not make that mistake. Hire an advisor to help you go through this process and understand exactly what you need, okay? And that's what I'm there for. I deterred people from buying properties that weren't good. They were going to lose money, and I told them why they would lose money, right? So they come to me for that type of advice. Now, when it comes to the ecosystem of what we have, Retreat Match is a mixer that we have once a month, and it's for anybody in the industry and beyond. So event planners, travel planners, retreat leaders, venue owners, etc. Whoever wants to make money in the retreat space, they come in there, and it's not your typical networking. It's actually an incredible energy that we have in there. That's what everybody tells me, okay? And I feel it as well. It's an incredible
and
energy.
And I want to jump in and say I know that firsthand, and you can go back and listen to these podcasts of like just – help right off the bat, helping you breathe better and open up in these conversations that were like, whoa, this is like amazing what these people were putting themselves out there on an initial meeting in a Zoom or, you know, on a virtual call, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the way I set the stage is like, hey, just don't look at this like, cause I hate networking and the typical, you know, the typical networking. I always felt like a piece of meat, you know, in a place so uncomfortable. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it in a way where it's really like we humanize the process. Like, just make a friend, you know, don't think of business. Just make a friend. I promise you the business aspect of it will come through. Okay. Just look for a friend, connect with people, be yourself, take off your mask and just be genuinely yourself to attract the right type of business to you. Not the business with the mask on, because everybody's faking and then nobody gets what they want. That what they thought they were going to get, right? It's like going into a relationship, dating with somebody, right? I always tell my girlfriends, when you go out on a date, right? This is my single girlfriend. When you go out on a date, don't tell the guy what you're looking for in a guy, because then he's just going to act like that guy you're asking for. Then 6 months later, when, you know, the masks start coming off and they're being themselves, right? You're like, I didn't sign up for this. That's not the guy I first started dating. Well, that's what you told him to be. Same thing in business. Just be yourself and attract the right businesses to you at the right time, right?
So you have the Retreat Match, which I've interviewed two people from meeting them at the Retreat Match. Thank you for all you do with that. It's such a great platform. What are some of the other things that you offer from that kind of kindling, just like we do with the Art of Construction here on the podcast?
So, you know, we have Retreat Match, the mixer, then we have Retreat Match, the, you know, where the directory of profiles. So if ever you're looking for a chef in Costa Rica, you could find them easily for venues. You know, if you want to find a venue that is, has been vetted through us, we've asked them all the, my goodness, there's a million questions that we do. We drive them crazy just to make sure that when people do book them, they book them because they're actually the right fit for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's beneficial for both parties. Retreat, you could put your retreat on there. So if you have a retreat that you are hosting or planning or whatever, And then corporate offerings. So if you have like, you know, keynote speaker, anybody who wants to be hired basically in the retreat space can put them, their profile in there. Then we also have Retreat Boss Magazine, which is an absolutely stunning wellness and travel magazine. We have people like Human Garage on the cover, Mike Chang and Natalia Chang. We've had, you know, the team from Mind Valley, all kinds of people, on the cover. And inside, it's almost like a coffee table book because it's so beautiful. And the articles that are written, you can look at them 5-10 years from now and they'll still be significant. Okay. And so we have that, which is basically highlighting, like I said, wellness travel, because retreats are mostly wellness, but they're not only wellness, but it's wellness travel for the conscious traveler, the one that wants to experience, the one that wants something different when they go out there in the world, right? Not just a vacation with a beachside bed, something that they want to live a little bit during their vacation or their retreat. They want to experience something unique that will impact them, maybe impact the country that they're in, the people that are in, you know, give back, whatever that may be. And and then there's Retreat Boss, which is, you know, advising venues and retreat leaders in the industry and certifications, courses, etc., training.
Awesome. I want to go back to the beginning of this, to where I really think our calling on this conversation coming together is really that, like, how and when do you build structures and how do you get the right advice when you're trying to, you know, when you've worked with people, if someone were to come to you today and say, hey, I'm going to buy this retreat or I want to build a retreat, I have this thing I want to do. What lens would you guide the majority of the people that listen to this podcast or people involved in constructing buildings? What advice would you kind of say would be the recipe for success for the people building it and the people paying these people to build this structure?
So first I look at the individual that's coming to me. Is it a company that just, you know, acquires buildings, venues, retreats, hotels, right? It's a different approach than a person who is like, this is going to be my first time or I like buying venues, but it's really personal, right? They'd be either managing it or they'd be hiring managers. It's a different kind of thing, right? So a corporation, they know they don't need much like direction in a sense where, is this the right thing for you? Okay. And if it is the right thing for you, is it the right destination, the right place, your lifestyle, all that, right? That would go with the person who's more of an individual buying it. Okay. Or a small, small company. So first I'd look at that. I'd look at the individual asking me for the advice. Then we would look at it like we would start kind of reverse engineering, like, what is it that you want to accomplish with this venue? How much money do you want to make with this venue? How are you going to make the money? What is your, you know, basically like a business plan also, right? Understanding like where, what's in the next 6 months, year, you know, and understanding them as an individual, if they have the capacity to be able to hold all this, okay? Would they be traveling there? Would they be living there? All of that stuff makes a difference. Then we'd have to look at the country they want to choose to go to, because it's not the same in building in America than building in, I don't know, Dubai, right? It's not, the same rules do not apply. Mm. So we'd have to look locally to get, you know, proper advice, legal advice, accounting, all of that stuff. Okay, so there's a lot in the process.
And I'd add pretty much all markets are local, right? Of like me living in Denver, Colorado, but building a retreat center in Westcliff, Colorado, the city county versus the rural county are just two different worlds, which is also why you want to do it in the first place, to go and experience different cultures. Yeah. But with different cultures comes different complexities, right?
Exactly. But the thing is, if you're still staying within the United States, you have an idea. Yes, the Understood, rules are a little yeah. different, but you understand the culture. That's a big deal, right? You understand the culture. You understand some of the legal aspects of it. Not all of them, but there's some things that you pretty much understand across the board. And then there's the specifics. But when you're going to an entirely different country, one of the things I always say is the timeline. Maybe triple it or five times it. Like, it's very long, very long. Okay. It's not, they don't have systems in place often, and those systems are long. And then, you know, having to build something, construction isn't the same. They have to import stuff. So it takes longer, right? So timeline is a huge factor when you go out of the, you know, let's say, first world countries and going into, you know, that the different type of territory of developing countries.
Yeah, and as a golf guy, my passion, I just did a spring break in Nicaragua and met the guy that's developed, you know, that played his golf course. And it's just been fascinating. He's like, yeah, it took 5 years because I had to first get the airport that I could get people there. Then I had to develop the land to then do the golf course. And then I had to, you know, hire David Kidd from Jack Nicklaus. And like at every level, there's complexities, right? And so you have to figure out, kind of knowing your audience of where you want to go with those moving parts of what you want to get out of that, right? And so get people that can really help you with what they do best. And I think a big part of it is just getting fresh perspectives that may not be totally emotional about it too, because I love what you're talking about of like the business part of it. Like, how do you strive to running a budget that is at 80% capacity before you just go build out a bunch of buildings, right? I think about, you know, the Radical Hospitality podcast, Zeke Freeman, he just talked about how, you know, he had the podcast about how it's always these people, I wish I would have done this before that or that before this. And then outside of the podcast is a lot of people, like, they get passionate, they do one structure and it works really well. Then they go build 10 more instead of 2, 3, 4. And then they get over their head, right? And so I think that's a big part of this whole thing is like, go out and get people that are just going to look at it from, how's the business going to thrive? Because if the business is not thriving, then whatever passions you have are going to get just run through the muck.
Yeah, I understand that if you're a yoga instructor and now you buy a property, you're now managing a property. It's very different. You become like the worker in the venue instead of the person who loved doing yoga, right? So that often happens with any business, not just venues. Like when you decide to become an entrepreneur, you oftentimes, if you don't, especially if you're not knowledgeable or you've never done it before, you become completely like you're drowning in the admin work and you're like, I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I love doing. And sometimes they revert back to what they originally were doing because they're like, I'd just rather be a yoga instructor. Right. I don't care for the business part of it. So it happens often. And, you know, in any business, not only in buying a venue or anything like that, unless you have a good plan, you know, an operator, a manager, a partner that will, you know, will do all that.
Sure.
Which would be a great idea, actually.
Yeah. So if you're not going to do it, you better get someone who is, right? And so balancing that stuff out is really what we're here to kind of make sure people are thinking through all these moving parts, which, you know, I'm practicing that as I'm launching to build and what structures do we actually build at a retreat center that is catered to, you know, corporate events and golf, but really behind the scenes is this test kitchen for building out new types of construction methods, which, you know, I've spent 30 years in Colorado trying to look at better ways to do construction. And we're actually doing that at turkeytoe.com. So I challenge anybody listening to this of wanting to get involved in next year is when we're officially launching this with the first thing we're building. And I guess now as we work towards closing this thing out, I kind of want to train the trainer as I asking you to talk on this podcast and actually doing it for myself is I'm doing that exact thing, right? Like it's becoming not as much fun just taking care of my friends and family down there. And it's like, if I want to build a full golf course, you got to take it to the next level. So that's what we're doing is we're building an official welcome center and a place for people to live full time. And then we're going to go find those people that really do have the passion that want to take care of the place, right? And so building these structures over time. But the part I would advise people, beginning with the end in mind, is three things you better figure out. Is it better be good for you? It better be good for the people you bring to the table. And in construction, it better fit the municipalities where you're playing. We talked a little bit about locally and you talked about globally and different places. But for me, it's getting that local county to understand what I want to do and put together a really good master plan and dream together, but then reverse engineer it into a reality. That's what I would really guide people to do. And that's what we're going to do. And that doesn't take 2 days. I'm at this for 17 years. And so it takes a lot of time sometimes to move. You got to slow down to move fast, right? Now, you can do it a lot of different ways, right? You can fast track by bringing in more partners, but then you may, you know, it's a different part. So what advice would you give the Art of Construction master facilitators who are part of this saying, hearing my story and the retreat boss story, how to get involved and what they should do to take next steps moving whatever they want to do forward.
Yeah. One of the things I would look at, are you looking at it as a passion or as a passion project or as really a business model? If it's more of a business model, then go with what the trends are looking like, that what the trends are looking at right now.
Awesome.
And wellness is in the multi-trillion and it's growing faster than any other business right now. Okay. So wellness travel. So if I would be looking at wellness travel, which we're going to be certifying wellness buildings, okay, so venues and stuff like that for wellness, low tox, you know, look at the materials, you know, what are you going to be having there? Organic foods, right? Like all of that stuff. Mm. Okay. So if you're doing it for as a business model, I would definitely start looking into really, really creating a unique wellness venue. If it's more of a passion project because you have a certain skill and you want to expand on that, then, you know, you're not looking at, you should look at trends still anyway, but I mean, you'd have to look at the trends going forward with your, passion, whatever that is. Okay. So if it's very specific, and see if it can make money.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's very important. Then I would definitely, like I said, hire the experts that have the knowledge. You do not know what you do not know. And this will cost you a lot of money and even make you go broke. It's not something you're playing with. It's not a retreat that you're canceling. We're talking about a full-on building with loans and partners and liabilities and stuff like that. Hire the right experts. Invest in that. If you don't have money to invest in that, walk away. Walk away. It's not the time for you. Or find the investors that will invest in what you have. If you cannot convince an investor to invest in you, even if you don't want investors, right? Let's say build it like you are about to get an investor, okay? And present it to an investor. If an investor says, I'm not, and they tell you why not, fix those why nots and make them happen for you.
Great advice. And that's what I did is in my case, it was my own family that believed in it and wanted to take our place to the next level. But I still went and got experts and developed a whole master plan and then created an advisory board of outsiders, not just the people that were already kind of bought into the son-in-law or the passion project, of get outside perspectives that are just asking questions from all the things you said. And I think that's really important to build that out.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how people do business without that, especially something like this, where the investment is quite huge and it's very time consuming as well.
Love it. Well, Catherine, we'll make sure we'll put links to people that are in this vein and want to join the retreat, kind of the story like I did. As we work towards closing this thing out, of all of your lessons learned of the business of retreats, we love to ask this question as this podcast is dedicated to the builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes. I've asked this question almost 400 times over the years, and I'm always intrigued what people say. But for our regular listeners and getting these outside perspectives, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
I think there's going to be a lot of longevity style technology incorporated into construction and, you know, low tox and all of that stuff. I'm seeing a lot of other things within construction, but that's not my forte, like the actual, you know, so I won't go there. But what I do see is putting in places stuff that is tech, right, inside the hotels that could be very expensive, and you have to be very careful that you can afford that and it's long standing, like meaning by the time you pay it off, the next thing is there, right? So you're like, oh my God, this is outdated now. So just be very, very careful with the tech that you include in your hotels or venues, because it moves fast, and if it's extremely expensive, by the time you pay it off, or it won't give you back the ROI that you were expecting. So just be careful with that. So it's more of a, you know, be careful with tech going forward rather than actually giving other advice on the technology. But
that's good advice. I mean, a lot of times it's back to the humans. If you're going to make a good retreat center, make it a good retreat center for the humans. Don't let technology try to frustrate the humans or overspend, right? Put the money where the people are.
It should enhance. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. And it should be there just to enhance the experience, not overtake the experience.
Love it. Well, the final question we always ask is, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates listening to this to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Believe in yourself and your dream. Never, ever change your vision, but you could change the strategy if it's not working. Not all strategies work. It's just sometimes the vision, you could give it to one person and it's not working, and the next person, and they could be working on it for 5 years, then someone else takes it over and they're succeeding with millions and millions of dollars of profit within the first year.
Wow.
It was all because of the strategy.
Awesome. Well, we're huge fans on the Art of Construction. Catherine, thank you so much for what you've done with the Retreat Boss organization. And it's pretty cool to, to step up to the platform and be part of your organization and interview the different people around it. And we're huge fans of what you're doing on the Art of Construction. And with our whole system built platform, we're super excited to be involved and continue to help the different people with their passions and align the business plans at the end of the day to build the best building we can in that environment. And that's really what this podcast kindling is all about. So thank you for all you do for the industry and stepping up to share your story.
Thank you so much for having
All
me.
right, crush it out there, Trap.